Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah. That plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today we have a very dark story. Not sure how funny this will be.
Because we're a comedy podcast and we like to do...
Well, Karen Barnes, one of our favorite listeners, suggested this. And it was so bizarre. I thought, yeah, I want to do it. But it kind of goes against... kind of our standards, because we usually do.
We don't have no goddamn standards.
No, we do. Remember, we decided we weren't going to do kids anymore.
We weren't going to do kids.
Yeah, I know. That was part of my contract. We put that in my contract.
Look, and Mariah, simmer down for a second.
And I'm just telling you, I don't even know why I'm here.
And we don't like to do recent, but this is kind of, it's happened, well, I guess it's not so much recent anymore. It's 2003, but I mean, usually we like to do old ones where people were already dead, and somehow, I feel better about myself making fun of dead people.
I'm certainly glad,
but
that's what's important.
But this is dark, so this is be one where we'll listener discretion is advised. It's called Eye of the Beholder.
If you're listening right now, if you
subscribe, I haven't got to that part.
You got
yet.
No goddamn discretion anyway. So,
okay. The topic is Eye of the Beholder, convicted murderer. Andre Thomas, man, this dude was he's fucked up. He's still alive.
Are you going to warn the people that this is an adult podcast?
Yeah, it's we good point, Chuck.
We use some goddamn language in here that you might not like. If you don't like it, go find fucking go listen to Barney or do something.
Barney
the Purple Dinosaur. Get VeggieTales, motherfucker. This ain't for you. If it ain't for you, fuck you. You know what? I'm tired of the criticism all the time, Timmy. I'm tired. You can introduce the devil over here.
Can I introduce the podcast?
The goddamn story. Well, first you got to introduce the devil. And I'm a little tired of the way I'm a little tired of the way you're just taking control of everything, Timmy. Aren't you, devil?
Oh, my God. First of all, Timmy's homicidal, so I'm just going to let it go for now.
I've had two Coke Zeros today.
I see that. I'm on my... fifth cup of coffee, so.
Yeah, I was at lunch, and I had like four Cokes, and the guy came over and he said, would you like a refill? And I better not. Yeah. I'd like to sleep sometime this week.
I was just down in my office masticating on my wrap.
You were doing what? There.
Masticating, Timmy. Masticating. Chewing. Oh. I was chewing. Masticate to chew.
I got you.
That's to chew, devil. To chew.
She can't stop laughing. But you make a good point. We are a comedy podcast. We use adult language. So if adult language offends you,
go fuck yourself.
Please listen to one of the other fine true crime podcasts out there, like our friends with They Walk Among Us, who, by the way, I'm looking forward to meeting Ben and Rosanna.
They're coming here this year. I'm going to Chicago when they get here.
I'm going to see them in Chicago, and then hopefully I'll see them in London, too. So
I don't know what's going on.
You know,
we were also going to.
We recommend that one, but Rosanna cusses a lot.
Well, she cusses a lot, but she does a great job with the research and stuff. And Ben does a great job.
Are we going to get on with our own podcast?
Okay,
or are we just going to keep?
You know what?
Roseanne's pretty and Ben's handsome. It's really confusing because.
Happy birthday, Roseanne.
Happy Roseanne. I don't know which one I have a crush on.
But, you know, Ben was, you know what he did for her birthday? He wore his History Dweebs t-shirt for her.
He did.
Nice.
He did.
I don't know. Was yeah, a I'm telling on you, or
if you cannot understand. Get laid, well, it is for Ben. If I wore it, no.
You know what? Ben could wear a goddamn burlap sack, and he's going to show up looking pretty hot.
Good
But
Lord.
With the History Dweeb singer, he was smoking.
Was he?
Oh, he was looking good.
Yeah. All right. Let me get into introductions so that we can
I think so.
get into the story. Let me introduce a lady who is known throughout the land, in every little village and hamlet.
What's as a dirty, what's wretched whore.
What's a hamlet, by the way?
Fuck.
You know, you chime in when he says moral compass, so I'm chiming in on yours.
Oh, I don't see. Call you a whore.
Okay, I take that back. Was that mean?
Is that out of line? Brandy, what is a hamlet, by the way? What's the difference between a hamlet and a village?
Hamlets are unincorporated.
Thank you, Brandy.
She made that up.
That's all right. I sound convincing. She's known as Brandy the Benevolent. Her Majesty, Queen Brandy the First. How are you today, Brandy?
Let me tell you something.
Okay. You both are hyper.
Let me tell you what.
I'm the calm one in this room, which is kind of frightening.
Well,
on
so
his face.
This morning, the electricity goes out at our house. And it was as I was getting ready for work. So I'm like, whatever. So I just kind of, you know, wash my hair down real quick and, you know, get up and come into work. And I have had four motherfucking people today go, I love your hair.
Including me.
Yeah. I thought it looked good.
I love your hair. I'm like, what the fuck? It's like bedhead.
Well, it's like, you know, you're like heroin chic. Just
it is. It is.
I wish I looked heroin chic.
This don't groom anymore.
I just slept in the car last night and came to work.
What the fuck? Did you color it? It looks so good. I'm like, gray hair fucking everywhere, shit going on. I'm like, no.
No, it does look nice. It's just not.
It gives you that.
You don't have that 80s puffed out look.
First of all, I don't never have the 80s puffed out look. I wish I did. I need big hair to come back in a big way.
Yeah. It looks shorter. You got a weave or something? Is that what you're doing?
No, I just pulled it behind my ears because it was, you know, not doing anything.
Well,
so that's how my day's going.
Well, when I grew this beard, Taylor, my son told me it gave me an edgy homeless look. That's kind of what you.
That is accurate.
That's what you're looking at today.
It probably is because you know my clothes were in the dryer, getting the wrinkles out. That stopped. So now I do. I look like a homeless professional that just rolled out and came into work. Yay,
so
me.
Now let's this Brandy time over so we can move on
Brandy
to
town.
Okay.
Let's move on to the star of the podcast, a man
really
who is known
far and wide
as a man who's really the moral compass of our podcast.
He is not
a man who's been called an oasis in the desert of despair
by no one.
The very honorable, the Reverend, the Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not good, Timmy.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I'm not What's good.
Wrong? Can you have a good day
I'm
one
telling
motherfucking
you what,
time?
I know you have.
Can
I know
you just say I'm fine?
I know you have troubles ever. In your life, but after we read this story, you're going to feel like your life is right on track.
No, I want you to think
no,
about
what
this.
What he needs to do
me.
Is watch Hoarders, and then
I'm laying
he'll feel
in
better.
Bed. Okay.
Now,
Lovesick. Have you seen Lovesick?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
Check it out. It's really good.
Okay.
Continue.
A goddamn government shut down, Timmy.
Yes.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Now think about this. But it shut down, Timmy.
Yes.
Okay, now I want you to think about this.
Could you not get your TANF?
About 10 o'clock every couple nights or whatever, I run up to the 7-Eleven.
Okay.
365 days a damn year, 7-Eleven's open.
24/7.
I see my friend Spider behind the counter.
That's why they call it 7-Eleven.
Yeah. I see my friend Spider behind the counter. Every night, Spider there, Timmy.
Spider's there.
What's that tell you?
Does Spider have a tattoo of a spider web on his elbow?
Yeah, on his neck, too.
Cool.
Okay.
Anyway, my point being,
like,
Spider can run an organization better than our elected representatives.
Do you think Spider owns the 7-Eleven?
I don't know. All I know is every day that I pull on that door, the 7-Eleven's open. 7-Eleven is a superior organization to our goddamn government. Vote for Spider.
Okay.
If we could have Spider in Washington, we'd solve all these problems.
That's your fucking beef today?
7-Eleven can stay open every year. White Castle can stay open. But a goddamn government can't stay open.
And you can get a big gulp.
Yeah.
When was the last time you got a big gulp from our government?
Yeah.
I got like some cheese from our government one time.
Oh, I remember the government cheese, like of the 80s.
Oh, that was some of the nicest shit.
It was in like nuclear fallout shelters or something.
There was nothing you could do, and you know, we wasn't proud. We took the government cheese. There was nothing you could do to make that cheese melt.
Yeah,
no, but it was good.
No,
you remember
it made the best grilled cheese sandwiches ever.
You remember commodities before there was food stamps? They were commodities, and they gave food away.
Well,
some nasty.
Wasn't there little books you had green stamps?
Yeah, I remember green stamps, but that, yeah.
No, dude, you know the Kroger up at the top of the hill? Uh-huh. They sell head cheese. And that is the nastiest looking shit I have ever. I stand there, because sometimes whoever I'm with has to go over the deli counter, and I'm standing there, I'm like, who, fuck it. If I had to slice that, I would lose my shit.
You really have to be careful with head cheese.
I think that comes from uncircumcised goats.
I think it does, too.
I think it does, too. Fold back the
skin. I actually think what happens is that they fucking put the tip of their dicks in those things, in that fucking cheese, because that is the nastiest goddamn shit. Have you ever seen it?
I'll tell you what, nastier than
that. Have you seen it? Have you seen head cheese?
But let me tell you, it's an amazing herb or some kind of voodoo shit. One of our listeners, when I was talking about my hip, sent me a tip and said, you need to get this turmeric tea.
Okay. You're a turmeric tea drinker?
You ever drank turmeric tea?
Uh-uh.
It's like somebody took...
I can't drink tea.
I'm
trying, though, because it's
classy. If there was some motor oil on the side of the road, and a panther came up and pissed in that motor oil, and then you put it in the microwave and warmed it up real good, it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
And then you know what they told me?
What?
Try adding honey.
Put some honey in it? Yeah.
There ain't enough honey in the motherfucking world to make
like
this
stuff. It's like Tom Jum soup in Thailand. It tastes like literally someone just ran some boiled some water and put some dirty socks in it. I mean, that's...
No, that's what... You know what it is? Actually, this is like if a homeless hobo rinsed off his gonads and the water dripped into a cup.
Uh-huh.
But I'll tell you, the shit's amazing.
Gonad sweat tea. Yeah.
But the shit, Timmy, I'm telling you, it's like magic.
It lube up your hip.
And my hips did not hurt for 3 days.
Well, I don't know.
It's voodoo. I think it was a voodoo. It probably is voodoo.
But if you've never seen head cheese, it's in like this gel, and it's in a loaf, and it's got like parts in it, and it's... Ugh. Oh my God!
I thought head cheese was that stuff they collected on uncircumcised guys.
Well, I think that's the nickname for it. Okay. No, and actually, I think you're thinking of Famunda cheese.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Famunda. let's get on with our story.
Okay.
First of all, let's send our condolences to Amber Krupp, our listener of
Amber
3 years.
Yeah, Amber was one of our first listeners, and she lost her dear, dear, dear grandmother. She was very close to her. And
we're all sorry, Amber.
We are all thinking about you, Amber.
Sending you love, Amber. And I would like to thank, as I mentioned, Karen Barnes for recommending this story. Again, this is kind of dark, but we'll...
Kind of dark.
That's okay. We're ready to roll. Let's go. Let's get into it.
Come on. Let's go.
God, you guys are...
I got a fucking day.
All right. We want to inform you up front, Brandy.
The story is
very dark and disturbing.
I heard that somewhere.
It discusses severe mental illness,
self-mutilation,
and the murder/dismemberment of a woman and two children.
Well, you've given it all away now. Yeah. We can go home.
Listener's discretion is advised.
Look.
Special thanks.
I think you fucking warned him enough.
To Karen Barnes for suggesting this
story. Did Karen Barnes suggest it?
Yes.
Wasn't sure.
Yes. Okay.
Who suggested this?
This is the story of Andre Thomas.
Your mom?
Andre Brandy was born on August 8th, 1983.
We're going to get in trouble.
And raised in Sherman, Texas, Brandy. And Sherman is a small town about 60 miles north of Dallas.
Oh, okay.
Is this pertinent to the story?
Well, kind of, because Sherman, Texas has a history of...
they have lead in their water?
No, they have a history of mental illness.
Spit it out, for fuck's sake.
Mental illness?
Well, you know, they're not the most progressive town. They did some shady things and did some shady things with people of color in Sherman, Texas before.
So. Jimmy, let me tell you something.
Yes.
I went down to Madison, Indiana this weekend. Cool little town.
Does this have anything to do with our story?
No.
Walk into a store, Timmy, and I was like, holy hell. All they sold was Nazi memorabilia and Klan memorabilia.
I'm out.
That's all they sold.
Yeah.
And I started looking around, and Logan's with me, and Logan's like, and Logan looked at the guy working behind the counter, and he's like, man, this is kind of fucked up stuff. And the guy's like, man, there's big money in this stuff. The people collect this stuff. They will pay top dollar for it. But
that's blood money. Fuck that noise.
They had Klan membership cards for sale. I mean,
see, even I have. I have standards.
Although there is a really funny podcast called "How Not to Raise a Little Hitler," it's really funny, and they look at not just Nazis and things, but they look like Manson and Psycho. And they're two ladies, and they're really, really funny. And one of them's on our Facebook page. So it's a good podcast. Check it out. How Not to Raise a Little Hitler.
Okay. Don't take them to Madison, Indiana.
Okay. But anyway.
Don't buy them an armband.
Sure. I don't want to say people. I mean, this was their history is it was a segregated city.
Okay.
They done some shady, you know.
Got it.
Trouble past, anyway. And speaking of troubled past, Andre Thomas's family had a very troubled past.
Oh.
His grandmother, Vivian.
Vivian!
Vivian with a V.
Which is close to Lillian, but not.
Yeah.
Vivian with a V.
The zoo has a new sloth named Vivian.
I know.
I love her.
Was a full-blown alcoholic by the time she was in her mid-teens.
Yes!
Sounds like the devil.
Hashtag goals.
So it's hardly surprising that she fell into... with drunks as well.
Much like the devil and Lanny.
And one of his names, Johnny, which would be Andre's grandfather, would beat Vivian regularly. I mean, I don't know if they had like a schedule, but that's not cool, right?
Not cool.
Right.
You know when people say regular, it's like it is every time he had a bowel movement, he beat her because he was regular.
Yeah, I don't know. But there's some domestic violence going on.
He was regular, right?
He threatened to kill her with a gun. Well, I'm assuming shooting.
That kind of goes par. Well, yeah.
But, you know, maybe he meant to. You know,
pistol whipper.
Yeah. And this is not cool. He once pushed her to the ground when she was pregnant. And it broke the baby's foot.
Ooh, oh, damn.
Mm.
That's rough.
Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, this story does not get any better.
That, you know what? That's, I mean, when you think about that, that's got to be.
That's
like
force. Force.
And how it didn't harm her because.
Now, we're talking about Andre's grandparents at this point. Right?
Yeah, but, I mean, babies in utero are
cushioned.
You know, the bones are real rubbery because it's hard for little kids to break their bones.
Let me say this. Getting that cast on is a motherfucker.
I bet it is.
No, that's not funny. I shouldn't say that. Okay. So his grandparents were very, you know.
They had issues.
Yeah, they had issues. Vivian was never very selective with men. She had 9 children with 5 of them, with 5 different guys, starting at the age of 14.
There you go. Yeah.
After Vivian left Johnny, she married a man named Walter Martin, and the pattern continued because he was a heavy drinker, and there was, you know, a steady diet of domestic violence. So, you
does
know,
does that sound like a Johnny Cash song? The beginning of a Johnny Cash lyric. After Vivian left Johnny.
That's kind of, yeah.
She married a man named Walter Martin.
1973, Brandy.
It's a suck song. Yeah.
During one of their arguments, Walter put a gun to Vivian's head, which she's kind of probably used to at this point.
You know, maybe Vivian, and
maybe
I'm
Vivian
just saying,
shouldn't get married.
Maybe Vivian, you know, it could be Vivian had a little wee bit of an attitude, too. If every time, if. Here's all I'm saying is
she needed to select better partners. That's how.
Well, and if she don't care about getting guns put to her head,
I'm not blaming the victim here, but
I'm not blaming her. I'm just saying if you keep picking people that are putting guns to your head,
well, maybe you should just be alone.
Maybe you need to swipe left on Tinder once in a while.
Andre's uncle named Gregory, who was 17 at the time, tried to pull the gun away from his mother's head, Vivian's head. And that's when Walter shot him in the stomach, killing him.
Oh, Jesus.
Gut shot him.
Yep. Walter would later boast that he planted one of Vivian's children, and he fully intended to plant another one day.
He's a great guy.
Yeah. Well, fuck, she got like 38 of them.
Yeah. So. Now, she had a daughter named Rochelle, who was close in the age of Gregory, the one who got shot. She never really recovered from his killing.
I bet.
She started drinking at an early age. She suffered from depression. And according to her siblings, and these are all, in prefaces, these are all published reports I'm taking this from. So
okay.
It's out there, so we're not breaking any new ground here. According to her siblings, she was sexually molested by Walter.
Probably.
Walter sounds
he like seems
a,
like the kind of guy that would do that.
He does like, seem like yeah. a dick. I mean.
Yeah.
All right. Rochelle's.
We don't, the whole story, but I'm thinking he's kind of a dick.
So Rochelle's having these issues. She was, her brother was murdered. She, you know, she's in this crazy family. She suffered.
Everybody's
she,
drinking.
Everyone's drinking. She's drinking. She's drinking. She's depressed. She was molested.
Then right. yeah, those, all those things are valid.
So Rochelle was Andre's mother. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Now that's just one side of the family tree we're talking about here.
Well, okay. Now is he Walter's kid?
No. Well, we don't. I don't know that. Okay. I don't know whose kid he is. No, maybe I do. I'm
no,
sorry. I do.
Danny was.
Yeah, Danny.
Danny
right,
was
right.
the first guy.
Danny Thomas, who of course was a great singer and a great actor.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. No, Andre's mostly absent father. His name was Danny Thomas.
Okay.
And he came from practically the same background, a generational alcoholism, domestic violence, and mental illness. Okay. So both sides of this tree
are fucked up.
One of his brothers, Andre's brother, suffered from alcohol-induced dementia. Hmm. No, this is Danny's. One of Danny's brothers suffered from alcohol-induced dementia. You really have to drink a lot.
Yeah, you do.
Another was locked up in a state mental, now this is what the term they used at the time, state mental retardation ward.
That's a little harsh.
Well, that's what I said. I'm, you know,
they're
this
not very
is,
proper
this is
people
Texas
down there.
And, you know, this is, you know.
In, Texas in the 70s.
Yeah. Looking at both wings of the family side by side is like looking at a same side of the same coin.
It's like if you took one of those papers and cut it like a snowflake, Timmy, and folded it and unfolded it.
Fucker.
That's some prose you wrote there. You wrote some beautiful prose and you fucked it up.
I edit as I go.
It was beautiful, yeah. Timmy.
So anyway, the family's... The family, you know...
Yeah, the family's fucked.
Yeah, right. But what did it all add up to when you stacked Andre's background against the removal of people's hearts, Brandy?
Fucked.
Removal of people's hearts.
Yeah, we're going to get to that, Colonel. Alcohol, violence, mental illness, trauma. This isn't an unusual background for people on death row. It probably started with Vivian, the grandmother, who claimed to have a gift from God, Brandy.
Wow.
More of a torment, really.
You don't know she didn't.
She believed she received divine messages through dreams and visions.
And none of those divine messages said, hey, that guy might not be good for you.
Only she didn't handle the gifts, as one of her children recalled. They handled her. So she saw her raw talent as a line that one could approach but never cross. So she's ambivalent about these messages from God. Yes. She's getting these messages from God, but, you know, she
ignores them.
Well, she's concerned that they might be.
You know what I do not like, Timmy?
What?
And I think it's rude. Do you ever get a message from God at like 3 a.m.?
Sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, you're laying there, you're in a deep sleep.
Well, but see, he's not in the same time zone.
Oh, that's true.
He's on mountain time.
That's a good one, Devil.
Thanks.
All right. So, Vivian, Grandma.
Hold on. He's texting me from the cloud.
Nice.
That was a good one.
Vivian, Grandma's getting messages from God. Now, this would pass through.
She was having to get in telegraphs.
The gift that she had would pass through to her children.
Oh, how many of them had the gift?
Rochelle had the gift. She believed that she had been chosen to hear God's messages, that her mother's gift had been passed down to her. Uh-huh. This proved to be a curse for her and Andre alike, because Andre's going to hear voices as well.
Oh. No way this could be schizophrenia or anything.
Right.
Right.
According to the jury, no. God then told Rochelle what to do, and she was certain that he was telling her son as well. So he's kind of laying out their day for them, giving them instructions.
That would be kind of nice to have all those decisions just made for you. Mm-hmm.
Andre was the fifth of Rochelle's six children, all of them boys.
Hmm. Oh, Jesus.
It's a sausage fest in that.
It really is.
By the time Andre came along in 1983, Rochelle already had sons by three different men. Five sons by three different men.
Five sons, three men.
She moved around constantly.
Do the math.
Yeah. I'd say she moved around.
She moved around. I don't know if it was like evenly distributed.
She's going to be a Maury.
She moved around constantly and often relied on the local church to pay her utility bills. Yet despite living in one of the most chaotic situations which a little boy might find himself, Andre somehow thrived.
Hey, somebody's got to.
I know, yeah.
He received
a low bar in that family.
So. Right.
He received outstanding marks in kindergarten and first grade.
That is a pretty low bar.
Well, I mean,
of course, I'm not sure that either of my children received high marks in kindergarten.
I mean, you know, you're judged against your peers. So.
I mean, did he not eat the
glue? He got little smileys. He got more little smileys than everyone else. Huh. I don't know. But he was a good student, okay?
Well, he had three brothers.
And he was placed in he was placed in the school's gifted and talented program.
In first grade.
His second grade teacher described him as a strong and delightful student.
Wow.
It becomes less delightful as time goes on.
I was going to say.
Or he wouldn't be on this podcast, right?
Don't you love how everybody on Maury all of a sudden becomes a geneticist? Geneticist. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look at the ears. That can't be mine.
Look at them ears. Look at his nose, Maury. Yeah. Look at his nose.
I'm 1,000% sure.
Oh, always 1,000% sure. I don't make girl babies. I don't think that's how that works.
Andre's mother, meanwhile, while he was in the gifted program, couldn't say whether her son went to school or not. As she would later testify, she had so many children, she simply couldn't keep track of them all.
Hmm, yeah. So this
the old lady that lived in a shoe.
So this piece of shit mom.
She had so many children. Well, she was sexually abused as a kid.
So she's got all these kids, and I'm not saying that that's whatever
right,
that
right,
is.
But,
that
but,
is what it is.
Right.
Sure.
But you have these kids, and you're not even sure that your 6-year-old is going to school. You didn't even know.
But he's thriving.
Yeah, but evidently he's getting up and going himself. I can't get mine to put his own pants
he's
on.
He's grabbing
half
his little briefcase,
yeah.
His lunch.
Yeah.
And we'll get into this later. But I mean, he would attend when he gets into trouble later on. He attends the court by himself, the probation officer.
Yeah, I mean, come on now.
This is not as quite as absurd as it might sound, Brandy.
I think that's not true.
Thanks to his mother, Andre attended three different schools in three different cities in two different states, and that was just in the second grade.
There you go.
He was a grifter. He's a rambling, gambling man.
Andre. Around third grade, Andre started telling his friends that he was Raiden, a character from the video game Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I could see that.
All right. I mean, you know, if you're going to be somebody,
might as well be a badass.
I tell people I'm Mario all the time.
Did you ever think you were Laura Croft?
I did not.
All right. Would you bang Laura Croft?
Like a drum.
And he is talking about the girl on the video game, not necessarily the live action.
Either one, right?
I didn't see the live action one.
Okay, there you go.
Just a movie.
Yeah.
Like his mother and his grandmother before him, Andre started hearing voices.
He's got the gift. Okay.
He made no secret of it. Lots of people knew that Andre suffered from what professionals called auditory hallucinations.
What if God's really talking to you? See, that's the bullshit thing here. What if people are really talking to you from the grave and they say, oh, no, you have an auditory.
Yeah, I mean, they would have said the same thing about Moses, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, look, we wouldn't have any commandments at all. You would have nothing to guide your life.
I'd have no compass.
I'm always amazed at the people that supposedly God finds to talk through. Like, there's always like this one guy that's got, you know, like no education, no nothing. And all of a sudden, you know, oh, God spoke to me and he told me that I need, which I get, like God talks to whores and, you know, poor whatever.
I do too.
You know, yeah. What? Here's what I always wonder.
But I mean, I'm like, why you pick this guy in the middle of nowhere, Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck. You pick this guy and he's the one guy in all the guys in the world that know what's going on.
Well, here's what I don't get. And it's done in a Monty Python movie, too. But do you think there were like 40 commandments and Moses was just like,
just drop some.
Not dropped him. Is
he
like,
editing as he went?
No, it's like, fuck that one. That's a lot of fucking bricks right there.
I can no only, cow fucking I hell with that.
I ain't coming up with, yeah. I'm only going to carry these two down. These are some heavy ass rocks.
Yeah, just hit the highlights.
just give me the key ones.
That's what, yeah, that's what. Are the Ten Commandments? What are those six, cliff notes?
You know, because only like two of them are illegal.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Well, and
you got murder. Which way? No, do theft, not murder. Do stealing. Not steal.
Those don't covet ones. Your wife's ass or your neighbor's ass.
Yeah, your neighbor's. I mean,
your neighbor's wife's ass.
That's considered rude, but I mean, it's not illegal.
Depends on what her ass looks like.
Don't you think if the commandments there ought to be illegal?
So what we wait, commandment cliff notes.
Let's see if Colonel can name the Ten Commandments.
Okay. There's only, you know what? As our Lord Jesus said, there are but two commandments.
Yes, he did.
He said, love thy God above all other and love thy brother as thyself. And
all
if
right.
you do that, the other eight will follow.
Name the ten.
Name the Ten Commandments?
Yes.
Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not
look at porn.
Huh?
Watch porn.
Yes, that one's on there.
Oh, yeah. That's
in there.
Thou shalt not have white print. Wine with red meat.
All right, you can't thou do shalt look him up. Look him up.
No, the Ten Commandments, I could scroll through those and I could.
Thanks. Clearly you cannot.
I break four of them on the way to work every day.
All
the
right.
devil
we
does,
know.
I mean.
All right, back to the story. All right, we're back with Andre. He's starting to hear voices. At age 10, he attempted suicide by slitting his wrist.
Aw.
He would try again 3 years later by sawing his arm with a butcher's knife.
God damn.
Wow.
A disturbed little child.
Did his mother notice?
I don't know. He also began dabbling in petty crimes, Brandy.
Not surprising.
When he was 11, he was charged with criminal mischief after damaging some golf carts. And later with theft for stealing a car and driving it into a ditch. See, he was 11 years old.
Can't see over the dashboard.
Yeah, don't steal a car until you can drive. You should have your license. You can get in all kind of trouble.
Well, and you know, and if it's a stick shift.
Oh, yeah, you're fucked.
Yeah, as an 11-year-old, you're fucked. Hell, I
couldn't steal a stick shift. He faced the consequences, Brandy, alone.
Of course he did.
No parent or guardian was on hand to support him when he first met with his probation officer or appeared in court.
Of course not.
Yes, it's a pretty fucked up story. His mother often would find excuses to miss appointments. On one occasion, telling the probation officer it was just too cold for her son to go outside.
Well, maybe it was.
Well, they're in Texas, one. And second, I think you kind of, you know, you have to make those appointments with your probation officer, your PO. They get pissed off.
They're suggested.
As Andre grew older, his grades slipped, and he was forced to repeat the seventh grade. Not sure why that's important, but I just include that there for background.
Right.
He managed to climb back into the gifted and talented program despite his regression, but his family life continued to deteriorate. When his mother told him she planned to move the family to Oklahoma, he informed his probation officer, and a judge placed him in juvenile detention facility because they're like, no.
That's probably better for him.
Yeah, exactly. The justice system would become Andre's surrogate parent, keeping tabs on his whereabouts and overseeing his life. He once asked a judge for a work permit so he could pay off the restitution and court fees, only to be told that he was 14 and too young to work.
Well, that's bullshit.
So, I mean, you know, this kid's already in big-time trouble when he's 14 years old.
He's trying to work. Job, he's trying to
make
it right.
Exactly.
Some of himself.
At age 16, on top of all his other problems, Andre became a father.
You shall have no other gods before me,
Timmy.
Oh, here
we go. He found the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
No, I'm just going to burn them out here. Now, I'm just going to let them sink in. You shall have no other gods before me.
Okay, you stepped on my line that at age 16, Andre became a father. It's kind of key here.
Okay.
He had been seeing a woman by the name of Laura Boren for several years. And he's 16, so I don't know how you see someone for several years. I guess
they go to school together. They're going together.
Yeah, they were going together for a few years. Andre dropped out of school at 16 when Laura became pregnant. He earned his GED and began doing various low-wage jobs. At one point, digging graves at Sherman's West Hill Cemetery. Okay.
Respect your mother and father to me.
I always do. The couple found their own place for a while, but later ended up moving in with Laura's parents, and then, later on, with Andre's mother.
Ugh.
So
you devil, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord, your God.
The couple got married on Andre's 18th birthday.
You know, I'm just not sure how she's thinking this is a good idea.
Which one? Any of them?
Well, right, Laura.
Yeah. Well, the couple got married on Andre's 18th birthday. And I'm just going to, I don't think I mentioned this. I mean, I mentioned the racial overtones earlier for faith's sake. Andre is African American.
Yes.
Laura is white. Okay.
Okay.
So their neighbors were probably real friendly to them.
They got married. This comes to play when we get to the trial. They got married on Andre's 18th birthday, and his mother, Rochelle, kicked them out of her house 2 weeks later.
There you go.
With nowhere they could go together, live.
Was not respecting his father and mother, too.
The newlyweds parted ways, Brandy.
Do you think one of them might have committed adultery?
Now, remember, she's got a kid.
Why did you tell him to look this shit up? Now it's going to go on forever.
Yeah. Andre's already
look up porn titles. They're funnier.
Okay.
Laura took little Andre, their baby, back to her parents' house, and Andre moved in with his brother. After 4.5 months, they separated for good. Okay, so Laura,
she got out.
She got out. Andre's world, already tenuous, was falling apart, Brandy, at this point. He loved Laura. He loved his son. He lost some of his seasonal work mowing grass and struggled to pay for heat and electricity. And because his place lacked utilities, Laura would not let him visit with his son. So she didn't want her son over to his empty apartment with no electricity.
Right.
Okay.
One of those helicopter parents.
Yeah. Andre remarked to his father that he was in a circle that he just couldn't break out of. He kept trying, though, and he sought out counseling for his suicidal feelings and for the voices that wouldn't keep quiet in his head. By the time he was 19, they were blaring in his head like a brass band. You like that, Colonel?
Did he get counseling?
In a nightmarish parade. Listen to this.
Well, spit it out there, Elmer.
The voices in his head, by the time he was 19, the voices in his head were blaring in his head like a brass band in a nightmarish parade.
Timmy, I am fully erect. That is so sweet.
Gross.
Thank you, Colonel.
Yeah.
Gross.
And
come on, that's some prose. Come on, Keats ain't writing nothing like that.
And during his...
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
19th year, he attempted suicide 4 times.
So did he ever find counseling? You didn't answer my question.
No, he sought counseling.
Did he find it?
No, he... Not surprising. We'll get to it in a bit later. At the time of the murders that we're going to talk about in a bit, Brian, you're going to talk about, the Andre's behavior grew even weirder, Brandy.
He tried to commit suicide how many times?
At least 7. And 4 in just in one year.
That's got to be tough on your self-esteem.
So now Brandy is going to tell us about what happens next.
Give it to us, devil. Come on.
Yes.
So Andre would stop talking for days at a time. He would put duct tape over his own mouth. I'm
wish
sorry.
You would try that.
Fuck you.
We need to get, you know, who to try.
He fixated on the dollar bill. Imagining.
Well, I've been fixated on the dollar bill most of my life. I don't know if that is a...
Well, he was imagining a code for his salvation amongst its symbols.
Oh, he's on that whole Masonic...
Literati.
Yeah.
Belluminati. Belluminati.
Belluminati, yeah. That's, watch out for the Belluminati.
3 weeks before the killings, he overdosed on Coracidin. It's a brand of cough medicine, and wound up at a mental health facility in Sherman, where he asked the staff to kill him.
Now, the tragic thing is he tried to commit suicide by taking cough syrup. The good thing is he didn't. His cough went away.
It did go away.
Perfect.
He could smoke all he wanted.
All right, so he's still doing his suicidal behavior.
Yes. Okay. Life is too much for me to handle, he had told him. Somehow, these dumb motherfuckers let him leave on his assurance, because, you know, word is bond.
And he seems like a well-adjusted young
sure,
man.
Sure, that he's going straight to a nearby hospital. When he failed to show up, shocker, a warrant went out for his immediate apprehension, but the police failed to enforce it.
Well, Andre was, he looked like a guy you could trust.
Well, sure. Here's the thing: when they put out a warrant, they don't actually seek you out.
No,
if
right.
They run into you,
right?
Not me. Every time they put out a warrant for me, they show up.
Well, they know where you're at.
House.
Yeah, yeah, you're not. They don't. You're not a.
They don't just wait to stumble across my.
You're
ass
not a bright criminal. You just kind of sit there and wait for them to come. 2 days before the killings, Andre overdosed again, and stabbed himself with a knife. He walked into the ER at the Texoma Medical Center, where an attending physician deemed him suicidal. Hey, way to go, guy. Somebody got his diagnosis right. And quoted him saying...
He's got the knife sticking out of him.
Sure. This guy might be suicidal.
That's one of the key...
It's a clue.
Yeah. When you got a knife sticking out of your neck.
Yeah, it's a sign.
Let's see. And Andre evidently told him that he was trying to cross over into heaven. Thomas, the ER doctor, wrote, is psychotic. He thinks something like holodeck on Star Trek is happening to him. I'm not a Trekkie, so I'm not sure what that is.
You get that reference, Colonel? I'm not a Trekkie either.
No.
Okay. Let's see. The doctor would later testify that Andre was really...
Well, the holodeck... Hold on. The holodeck is where they stood with those beam things.
I don't know.
Where they'd say, beam us, Scotty, and they'd all be
sitting
there.
So he thought he was being beamed up or something?
Yeah, he thought he was getting transported around. We're gonna, you know, in this group of dweebs, there's a bunch of Star Wars
somebody
geeks.
Will know. Page
somebody will know it. The doctor would later testify that Andre was really mentally ill, and that's in quotes. So that's his, you know, professional,
really
professional diagnosis.
I ain't fucking around here now. This guy's really mentally ill.
As if to stress that this wasn't just your run-of-the-mill crazy person.
Mm. It ain't your garden variety crazy.
Finally, the patient wanted to know whether he had...
let me just correct a colonel.
He's crazy as he should.
The holodeck is a reference to a plot in Star Trek in which participants engage in different virtual reality environments. It has nothing to do with... transporting like he was.
How the fuck would I know? I ain't ever watched.
Well, then
Star
why
Trek?
Did you wager a guess?
Huh?
Why did you wager a guess? Why didn't you just shut the fuck up and let us move forward? Why did you wager a guess? Because you didn't know what the fuck you were saying.
He said it was such
and you
conviction.
Carry on.
I was speculating.
Well, no, he has to have something to say.
I was speculating.
He's got to have something to say. All
I
the
had
time.
Something to say.
Yeah.
I had something to say, God.
But it
was wrong.
I got something to say, Vivian.
Yeah. But much like most things that you say, it was wrong and useless.
You gonna read this motherfucker, or you just
I'm
gonna
trying,
criticize
but you
me?
Just keep
what
spitting
are you
out
do?
Bullshit.
All right, continue,
like
Randy. I'm sorry, I had to
came
correct
from
it.
The homeless
correct the
shelter, motherfucker.
I know, I do look like I'm homeless.
Love your hair. Love your hair.
Fuck off. All right, so
look
finally
like Dorothy
the patient
Hamill coming in here.
What?
Look like Dorothy Hamill show
a little
up.
Bit. I need some skates. Finally, the patient wanted to know whether he had volunteered for his life or been forced to live it. Maybe that was the final straw. The doctor referred Andre to the hospital's mental health unit and filled out an emergency detention order to hold him against his will.
You know, Andre asked a deep, deep philosophical question, though.
What's that?
Because ain't none of us asked to be born.
You know.
So did he volunteer for his life or has he been forced to live it?
It is a philosophical question, but Colonel, I'm sure you can relate to being institutionalized against your will.
I have. No, I signed myself involuntarily. Yeah,
perfect.
In air quotes.
But
voluntarily.
Right. But while staffers waited for a judge to sign the order, Andre wandered off.
Well, he's a busy man.
Well,
places to go
as
people to see.
As that the attention of a gnat.
That orderly had one job. One job.
Yeah, you want to keep an eye on a guy with the knife
sticking out of
his
him.
Neck. Yeah.
I'll tell you, you knew who they needed. Spider.
They didn't. Spider would have had him. The hospital called the police, but there was no evidence that officers went looking for him at the home of his mother or any of his other relatives.
Yeah, see,
where the fuck they looked.
The point here
under a rock,
is that
I don't know.
The mental health system is failing.
Oh, the mental
him.
Health system is awful. Don't get me started.
The school system's failing him. The judicial system's failing. But continue.
Yeah. Well, everything. Nobody. There's nobody that's done this guy right. That one doctor tried to, and you know, he wandered off
because he was really, really crazy.
Right. So the next time anybody saw him, he was walking into the Sherman police station to confess to killing his family.
Okay.
Well, that's disturbing.
It gets worse.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Oh, no joking here. This is pretty bad.
On March 27th, 2004, Andre Thomas stabbed to death his 20-year-old estranged wife, Laura Borden, their 4-year-old son, and her 13-month-old daughter in his wife's home. He used a different knife to murder each member of his family, which he explained to authorities was so he didn't cross-contaminate their blood and allow the demons inside them to live. He proceeded to cut out his children's hearts.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And inadvertently remove a piece of his wife's lung instead of her heart.
Well, he was no surgeon.
Was the little girl his?
I believe the son was his, but the girl was from another father, I believe.
From another relationship. Yeah. Let's see. He stabbed himself in the chest, but did not die. This fucker's like Rasputin, for real.
This motherfucker, how many times has he stabbed himself?
I don't know. He's committed suicide at least 9 or 10 times at this point.
Or he's tried to commit suicide.
Tried to commit suicide.
Yeah. Let's see. So he stabs himself in the chest, but he did not die. So he placed the organs in his pockets, because where else would you put them, and walked to his house, later moving the hearts and piece of lung to a paper bag and throwing them in the garbage. He called his now dead wife's parents and left a voicemail.
You're going to read the voicemail.
I'm going to read this voicemail here. Sherry, this is Andre. I need y'all's help. Something bad is happening to me, and it keeps happening, and I don't know what's going on. I need some help. I think I'm in hell. I need help. Someone needs to come and help me. I need help bad. I'm desperate. I'm afraid to go to sleep, so when you get this message, come by the house, please. Hello? You might wonder what Andre was thinking when he removed the children's hearts and placed them in his pockets to take home, along with the piece of Laura's lung, which he mistook for her heart. By his own account, he'd received a message from God telling him to kill Jezebel, the Antichrist, and a related evil spirit. The only
you
other
better hope nobody around here ever gets one of those messages, devil.
No kidding. No, then we're all fucked.
I'll be coming right after you.
Yeah. The only other clue was the dollar bill he had folded lengthwise and left next to his wife's leg, exposed the pyramid with the eye on the top. Exposing the pyramid with the eye on the top.
So he's finding some symbolism in this dollar bill for some reason.
Well, pull out a dollar bill and look at the back for yourself.
I will.
Above the eyes are the words Inuit. Was it Coptus?
Coptus. Coitus. Annual coitus.
No.
No.
It means sex once a year.
What does it mean, Brandy?
Well, how do you say it? You're the Latin guy.
I don't know.
Inuit coeptus.
I don't have a dollar bill.
Inuit coeptus.
He approves our undertakings is what it means.
Okay, so he saw it as a divine message.
It's likely you haven't thought much about this, but Andre did for hours at a time. Maybe he was seeking approval, but the dollar bill seemed to confirm the words that kept pounding in his head.
Motherfucker couldn't figure out the way to kill himself right, but he could read Latin?
But 2 days later, when he was confessing his crime to the police, he called the eye at the top of the pyramid evil. A day after that, he explained that he was the 13th warrior on the dollar bill. It just so happens there are 13 steps on the pyramid for the 13 original states, but no reference to warriors. His wife and kids weren't really dead, Andre told the jailhouse nurse. He removed their hearts to free them from evil. So he's in the gifted program and doesn't realize that people need those to live.
Yeah.
Andre refused the antipsychotic medication the jail doctors prescribed him, but at least he had the Bible. And when he wasn't acting belligerently or gesturing wildly or ranting about evil, he would read from it. One can only wonder what he thought when he turned to Matthew 5:29, particularly in the light of his obsession with the eye on the pyramid. If your right eye causes you sin, the passage reads, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell.
He's right there. He's right there. Timmy, that excessive masturbation, you should chop off your hand, son.
Well, I guess it's better than chopping off your dick.
Plus, yeah. Plus, you still got another hand if you want to go.
That's what
hell.
Timmy does is look on the bright side.
Yeah. You still bang a pillow.
hump a leg.
So, this is precisely what Andre did.
Yeah.
Sitting in his cell, reading the Bible, he gouged out his right eye with his fingers.
That takes some commitment right there.
Had it finally dawned on him 6 days after the killings what he had done? There's a word for almost everything in this world, and there is a word for the intentional removal of one's own eye. Autoenucleation. What little medical literature exists on this estate, it states the obvious. Yeah. It's an extraordinarily rare form of self-mutilation brought on by extreme psychosis. It occurs with paranoid delusions, often of a religious nature, that accompany schizophrenia and is occasionally referred to as Oedipism. Oedipus.
Yes.
That motherfucker.
I know. Dude, that fucker was crazy. Of course, what would you do if you screwed your mom?
You're gross, devil.
That's the fucking story of Oedipus, you
I know, that's
bastard.
Why I said that
open
motherfucker.
Open a book.
But
that's
why
I said that motherfucker.
Dead.
You missed the joke.
He wouldn't do that.
Open a book, motherfucker.
Get out of the way. Do you ever see that? I think it's a Mel Brooks when he's walking down Oedipus. He's got the dark glasses on. And he bumps into the guy.
Oedipus. He's the town drunk with one eye.
Right.
But anyway.
Bangs his mother.
He bumps into him and he goes, watch where you're going, motherfucker.
What was this thing? I always get the Oedipus complex. I always think of Cyclops for some reason.
What's up? You know, the eye right here.
This came up, and this not all is related, but we had a post on our
it's not related.
Today, from Chelsea Neal, about a job interview, and the guy said, "Do you have your husband's permission to be here?" Did you see that?
Yes, I did, and it has nothing to do with this podcast.
It does.
Okay.
It does, because, Devil, you are around two extremely handsome men every day during the podcast.
A lot of listeners do write in and ask
do you have your husband's permission to be here?
Well, no, a lot of them have asked, write in and asked what it's like for Brandy to do a podcast with two very attractive co-hosts.
And I say, I don't know. That is all what right, I said.
So,
do you have his permission?
All right, so Andre gouges out his eye.
Right. So for those that don't know, it's a reference to the myth of Oedipus the King, who blinds himself after learning that he has fulfilled a prophecy by murdering his father and sleeping with his mother.
Right, and it's of course...
For Oedipus, it was not schizophrenia or delusions, but rather his own guilt and the merciless fates that caused him to stab out his eyes, I believe with a hat pin or something like that.
It was
that.
A hat pin.
Yeah. And then, of course, Oedipus complex was a theory proposed by Freud.
Yes.
Saying, you know, basically you love your mother.
Well, it was Norman Bates.
Oedipus had, he did butt stuff too.
Yeah, okay. He get boner.
For Oedipus.
He did what?
God damn
he'd
it.
He get a boner.
After removing his eye,
yes.
Andre was placed in a secure wing of the North Texas State Hospital.
It's like closing the barn door after the horses are out, isn't
right.
it?
Well, the horses, the cows. Everything else
okay,
in there.
Okay, so they put him
fucking
in a
three-legged dog got out.
So
I mean, everything.
His actions are causing them concern.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But those doctors later pronounced him fit to stand trial.
Oh, well. Okay.
When Andre took his eye out, the legal proceedings stopped in their tracks. Who knew what the man might say or do in front of 12 jurors? Could pop out his other eye.
He could throw poo at him.
Oh, just wait. It's not over yet.
For starters, look at this. The authorities quickly equipped him with big mittens, otherwise probably known as potholders, fastened to his wrist to prevent their removal.
And it's very handy when taking out a
casserole.
Exactly.
When you got a souffle in the oven.
You never know when you're going
to
have to.
You don't
do
know
that.
If you're going to pop out an eye or take out a souffle.
Okay, so they're taking some precautions now that he gouged out his own.
Well,
eye.
Yeah. All now right. that they're giving. Wait a minute. Now they're giving him the same treatment as you give a kid with poison ivy.
Okay.
Let's see. All of them finally said that Andre suffered from some form of schizophrenia. You think? Chuck could have made that diagnosis.
I seen that one.
And Chuck can't spell it.
But you know what? I mean.
Stevie Wonder seen that one from 100
yards. You don't
want
to imply that everyone with schizophrenia would go around doing crazy shit like this. It's just this guy was not being treated.
No, he wasn't. Right.
Although
he was failed. He was failed by everyone.
Some of insane people as a rule are not that dangerous.
Right.
Until you get to the paranoid schizophrenics.
Well, yeah.
Because they believe that people are out to harm them.
Right. And they're hard to treat because they're hard to get trust. But if they're taking their medication, they can be just as normal as Chuck.
I don't know about that. No, I don't know.
Continue, Brandy.
All right. So
he's sitting in a cell, big mittens and one eye.
Well, right. Right.
I wonder if he got a patch.
Oh. Well.
So then.
We're not done yet.
Arg, matey, not guilty.
No, so, we're not done yet. Hold on.
So they pronounce him fit to stand trial.
All right.
So then he pops out. I don't know.
Because obviously he's a well-adjusted individual.
Well, so then they declare.
Who is responsible for his actions.
So then they declare him incompetent to stand trial because, I don't know, he comes in or this is out of order. But anyway, so he's off. They ship him back off to the state hospital where he continued to hear voices and talk to himself. And seemed to have a reoccurring dream where scorpions and tarantulas were trying to eat him.
Ooh, that would suck.
At the end of 47 days of evaluations and medications, the doctors concluded that most of his hallucinations were substance-induced. Well, that's ignorant. His discharge...
Which is weird in the fact that he's institutionalized. Well, where's he getting substance, I guess, unless it's the medication they're giving him.
The Coracetin.
The Robitussin.
You'll have that.
He's the Robitussin, man. Some Tussin. Mm-hmm. He's the Tussin killer.
We used to have an old guy in our neighborhood. He would call it. His nickname was Cough Syrup. He
that's not a very catchy name.
No, but he would. I mean, that's so he wouldn't drink alcohol or anything. He just drink cough syrup.
Oh, I had a great grandpa that would drink Scope when it had all the alcohol and shit in it. He would drink Scope.
Yeah, I just stick to my Ambisol
and Listerine.
Zambar.
At least he had good breath.
Fresh well. Here's the thing with you. That's like a really weird. We need to have an intervention on that.
We do. That's a that's some kind of fetish or something. I don't know.
It's a weird thing.
Fetish. I don't get all sexually from Amazon. All right, dipshit.
I think you got one finger on your gums and one on your.
No,
Johnson.
But I tell you what.
Ooh, what if you put the same finger on?
No,
his
but I tell you what. Here's a mistake that I've made before.
You held it pee and
you
it made it numb.
No, here's a mistake I made before. I had been exercising, had some sore calves, so I put some Bengay on it, and then I had to pee.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the bathroom and forgot that I had Bengay on my hands.
That's spectacular.
Oh, here, it burns like a mother, let me tell you.
Here's a public service announcement for you people that like to hike out in the woods. Yeah. When you're out in the woods hiking and you got to pee, if you're a man, rinse off your hands before you pee.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That happened to me. I had to get a
steroid shot. I'm serious about the Bengay. I mean, it burns.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It burns.
All right.
I mean, it was burning. I was like, you know, it felt like, I don't know, like I had gonorrhea or something. I didn't, but it felt like that.
I'm not sure.
You know, what I would assume that it feels like.
Did he just hand you a shovel and tell you to start digging?
Continue, Brandy. Okay.
You know
so,
they used to take gonorrhea and slam their dicks in the window?
To get rid of it?
To try to get rid of
that'll
it?
That'll work.
Or slam a book on it, try to get all the pus out of there?
Yeah.
They thought if they could clear the pus out real good, so they'd take your dick, put it between two books, slam it, or they'd take your dick and slam it down on it.
You know, we talk about consumption all the time, tuberculosis mm-hmm. kill people. The gonorrhea in the early 20th century killed a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people. And you get that, Brandy, when you have sex with people without protection, they carry diseases. Yeah. And so
bad disease. When you have sex with a lot of people.
Yeah, like you, well, like, you did.
Yeah.
But...
whore.
No, I'm not saying that.
I'm sitting over here minding my business.
You were a young, attractive college student. You're trying to get through school. You don't have the academics.
Every place should have a dick checker.
Doesn't it? Hey, you know, she was on scholarship, Timmy. She had to keep it to 3.2 average.
Yeah. So, that's you know, no one's, dick. We're not blaming you or anything. We're just saying you got to be careful because, yeah. You know, that's that gonorrhea is pretty serious stuff.
If I didn't know history, I would have done the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's good for me and the colonel. We're intelligent. We didn't have to sleep with our professors. But we love you, Brandy. Continue, please, with your... She's texting Renee again.
We got you.
You'll be editing this podcast tonight.
We're come on. You got us on the edge of our seats here, devil.
Fuck you, Beau.
Okay, Brandy. Continue. We're sorry.
We're sorry. We did not mean to imply that you was
but
a woman
when,
of loose
it was
morals.
It was a condition that killed a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people died of gonorrhea in early 20th century.
Gonorrhea.
Continue, Brandy.
Can I?
Please.
Bring this prose to life, girl.
All right. So his discharge order seemed contradictory.
She said discharge.
Ow.
Okay. We're sorry, Brandy. Okay. Please continue. We love you. Continue.
Keep reading.
Love your hair. Love your hair.
Love that hair, girl.
All right. So his discharge order seemed contradictory. Doctor said that Andre was malingering by exaggerating his mental illness, and yet they still made him wear the mittens throughout his stay.
That was just for fun.
Nothing puts that point home, exaggerating your mental illness, like popping your own eyeball out. Yeah. He's not crazy.
Fucking malingering.
Yeah. They also noted
If he was committed, he'd have popped that other eye out.
Stay tuned.
He was really crazy.
They also noted that he was consistently cooperative with staff, behavior that is not at all typical of malingerers.
Well, because then they're playing them, right? If you're playing someone, you're going to act weird toward everybody. You're not going to be compliant. Okay.
So, let's see. Andre was now competent to stand trial, they wrote, and the court so found. Still, the eyeball issue had gotten everybody's attention. At one point, as it will do. At one point, the district attorney of Grayson County had called it the desperate act of a man who feared punishment. I don't think that's it. He popped his eyeball out. I think he's doling out his own punishment.
Let's see you do that, motherfucker.
Right. But as the trial date approached, the prosecution seemed more circumspect. After all, the defense would surely argue that Andre was insane. And could even the most hardened DA argue that he was faking it?
She said hardened.
That he had scooped out his own eye to manipulate the jury?
She said it would have been perfect. She said a little bit too fast. She said hardened.
Hardened.
For the prosecution, one big decision remained. Would the state seek the death penalty? After all, no murder, no matter how heinous, depraved, or just plain bizarre, requires it. Ever since the Supreme Court outlawed mandatory death sentences 37 years ago, these decisions have been left to the prosecutors. In Texas, district attorneys have used their discretion broadly, not only in seeking the death penalty, but also making sure it's carried out.
Yeah, Texas is, for those our friends outside the United States, Texas is pretty aggressive when it comes to instituting the death penalty. Is that fair to say, Colonel?
You know what, and we don't like to go into political things or whatever, but they have truly the most fucked up system for the death penalty down there in the whole country.
Yeah, they're very aggressive when it comes
to... It's not that they're very aggressive. The judge, you could do a whole podcast on it. The judge appoints the defense attorney, and if the defense attorney aggravates the judge, he just doesn't get any more cases.
Yeah, it's
just,
it's
I mean, it's a mess. It's a mess. And I'm not somebody, I'm not saying I'm pro or anti-death penalty or anything else, but anyway, the Lone Star State, and you'll see from the rest of this, it's responsible for 37% of all the executions in the United States since 1977.
So 50 states. Texas
50
is,
states.
Texas is responsible for almost half.
Yeah. This discretion, now, the discretion has limits. Race, for one, cannot be considered at all. Not to say it never is, but that is unconstitutional to do so. But it seems to play a big role in capital cases, especially in one like the Thomas case, where the victim is white and the defendant is black. Lauren Bourne Thomas, Andre's late wife, was black.
She
was black. She was white. Mm-hmm. The children were killed were a mixed race. Now, these facts, and this is... well.
And I didn't put all the testimony in, but at one point, the it was an all-white jury, and at one point, the prosecutor pointed to Andre and said, "Would you want your daughter dating someone like him?"
Hmm.
I mean, you could look at it, yeah, okay, they were talking about someone who gouged out his own eyeball,
yeah,
but...
In fairness, I wouldn't want my daughter dating somebody like that.
Exactly. But there was an implication also that they were race baiting during. But anyway, continue.
But now these facts were particularly important when it came to jury selection. For the jurors, eventual jurors on the thing said they were opposed to people of mixed race backgrounds marrying or having children. So they even thought that was bad. He had four lined up against him before he even went in.
Jesus.
One even stated he did not believe that God intended this. Andre's court-appointed lawyers did not object.
Yeah.
And the jury was seated.
Oh, they're good.
Yeah.
Seem open-minded.
Yeah, I'm good with them.
Yeah, they're good.
When all was said and done, the entire jury, not to mention the judge, all the lawyers, the janitor, the groundskeeper, they were all white, Timmy.
Yes.
They were all white. It was.
Yeah, they have a weird system there. They call shuffling, and I didn't go into it in the script. But basically, they put jurors into this room, and if one's not selected, they shuffle them around.
Yeah.
And like on the third try, you have to take whatever you know, the first 12 people.
Yeah.
And in this case, they all happen to be white.
Yeah. After a short trial, Andre was found guilty of murder.
Get the fuck out.
Given the grisly details of the crime and the eyeball incident, more than a few observers were undoubtedly left wondering how a crazy person could still face execution. There's no answer to this. State courts around the country have struggled to define intellectual disability. also known as mental retardation, since 2002, when the Supreme Court ruled that retarded people are exempt from capital punishment. Now, yeah, that's the words that the courts use.
Yeah, and they don't, but there's no clear definition of what that is.
Of what it is, right.
Right.
It's also, the High Court has also banned the execution who is in of anyone under 18 at the time of his crime, but no court has ruled that severe mental illness makes a person ineligible for the death penalty. Now, the generally applied law is that an insanity defense would only be available to someone who cannot understand the nature and quality of his act.
Yeah, and it's called the McNaughton Rule.
The McNaughton Rule, yeah. And it basically, I'll explain that to me. I'm not a lawyer, but...
Thank you, Colonel.
The McNaughton Rule basically says, would that person have committed that act with a policeman at his elbow, basically?
Yeah.
Were they compelled to do so strongly, or were they so out of touch with reality that...
They could not determine they if could, it's right they, or wrong.
Right.
And I think one could argue that this is clearly a case where he was not... I mean, he couldn't distinguish between what... He didn't know what the hell was going on.
He popped out his own fucking eye.
Yeah. Well, his trial hinged on this very question, but with one wrinkle. In Texas, if your insanity is caused by voluntary intoxication, you cannot use it as a defense. The prosecutor doctors testified that Andre was well aware that he was behaving wrongly and that his crimes may have been triggered by his Robitussin.
His cough syrup. His cough syrup.
Oh, and his pot sake. Smoking. Now, the defense called the witness stand doctors who pointed to Andre's history of mental illness apart from any substance abuse. And hadn't the man just plucked out his own goddamn eye?
Now, when yeah, state, I think that would turn the case would turn on that if I was in the jury.
But I would think.
Was the state seriously suggesting that Andre's auto-enucleation was a ruse?
I think they were.
I believe there was. No.
That's a little far to take
instead,
a joke.
The prosecutors argued it was an impulsive act to me. They did not dwell on it, of course. There's no requirement that attorneys have to spend lots of time talking about evidence that hurts their case. They just said it was an impulsive act and moved on, Timmy.
Yeah, no need to dwell on the eye plucking.
Yeah, the eye plucking. So the jury moved on with them. And Andre's insanity appeal was just tossed right out the goddamn window. He was found guilty. 4 days later, sentenced to death, Timmy.
Jesus.
It turned out that an impulsive act, even coupled with orders from God and the removal of hearts, could not soften the punishment for murdering three in Grayson County.
I get that. There were victims here, and it's sad, and it was a horrific thing.
Yeah, you know what? It's bullshit. You remember the guy, I don't know if you remember it, Timmy, the guy that killed the Procter & Gamble executive. This was years ago, but they were having an affair. It was a young boy. They were gay. They were both gay. He was married to Procter & Gamble. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy was crazier than hell, Timmy, the guy that killed him. He's still
fried him.
Still did. I mean, it's just.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they ever fried him. They gave him the death penalty, though.
Okay.
It's just, it turns out that an impulsive act doesn't do you any good. So they gave him the death penalty. After 3 years on the road, there was little question that Andre was getting worse. And maybe it's more accurate to say that events were beginning to recur again. Andre had always believed in what we call deja vu, except he was convinced that he was reliving days and weeks in their totality.
Oh, like Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day.
Yeah. Much like these podcasts, Timmy. a year prior to the killings, he complained to his friends that life kept repeating itself. That's how I feel every damn morning. I get up in the morning, I eat cream of wheat. I come in, I eat my wrap. I go home, and I play with the dog. Yeah, yeah. It's pretty much like that.
That's
every
your
once
life.
In a while, I pluck out an eye to,
No, you don't.
I don't go that crazy, but I will cut my fingernails. And since things were happening over and over again, it meant that they weren't really happening at all. Man, he had some philosophically deep shit here, Timmy.
Yeah,
if everybody's bad, there's just so many questions there. We could do a whole class on Andre's philosophy.
We could, but let's finish this one.
I mean, if everything's happening over and over again, are they happening at all? Think about that.
Okay.
Think about that. It's now, it doesn't help that, you know, we smoked weed before we started this podcast. But shortly after his crime, when he explained to the nurse that he and his wife weren't really dead, he had said, "This is deja vu from all reality, devil." By late fall, Andre was acting much as he had in the weeks leading up to his crime. He felt suicidal again, asked for help, but refused to take his meds. Now, this is something you should do all the time, devil. Please take your meds before you get here.
Yes, please take your
meds. Because I notice on the days you don't take your meds, you're a little bit aggressive.
You know, she is. But when
I bit you one time.
You bum fiddled me, devil. You bum fiddled me.
No, I did not bum fiddle
anybody. You did bum fiddle me.
No, no, I bit you.
Bum, that's a bum fiddle.
What the fuck?
You threw that stapler that time.
Do you, you don't know what bum fiddle is?
But I missed.
Bum fiddle. Bum fiddle is to attack.
Oh,
for our listeners. Okay. You bum fiddled me, devil.
And that's why I think people will like this podcast, Colonel, because they always learn something from you.
They do. Mm-hmm. They always learn
like
something.
Like the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, read a book.
Bum fiddle.
Bum fiddle.
Sounds like I played with his butt.
Masticate. How many of our readers are out there masticating right this very minute? And masturbating right this very minute.
Come on.
Come on. You know a lot of them.
All right, back to Andre in death row here.
A lot of them like to listen to the smooth tones of the colonel while they're going to bed.
Oh, my God.
So, anyway.
Yes.
I will start screeching like a howler monkey.
I heard you're a howler, devil.
You know, whatever. If you masturbate and you don't already have gonorrhea, and you masturbate, you won't get gonorrhea.
Yeah, it's true.
Those are good life tips, Timmy.
So, and it's cheaper, much cheaper.
For I'm gonna do this by late fall, Timmy.
Okay.
Andre was acting as
no, play it straight.
He hadn't leading up to in weeks leading up to the crime.
In that shirt.
He felt suicidal again asked for help, but he refused to take his meds. He stopped talking and went neat. He came out to see his lawyer with scotch tape clumsily covering his mouth.
He tries to tell them.
And insisted on writing his answers to her questions on a glass partition with his finger.
Okay.
Well, if it was dusty. It's conceivable that his relapse was related to an incident in late November when he found himself in a cell next to an inmate who he swore was the Antichrist. This enraged Andre, who believed he had already done God's work in removing the Antichrist from the earth.
How many Antichrists is God going to send him?
Well, yeah. Never more than you can handle.
So perhaps what he did next, the things that got everybody's attention again, resulted from a combination of all these things. And
what
on
did,
December.
What did he do, Colonel?
December 29th, Timmy, 2008. A mittenless Andre ripped out his left eye, his only eye, and then the sumbitch ate it.
He takes out his second eye and swallows it.
I'll tell you what, couldn't be worse than squid. But anyway.
All right, so now.
Now the blind motherfucker, he's stumbling across his cell, bumping into walls and shit.
Well, yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Probably looking for some water to wash that shit down.
You know.
As he explained some days later, he didn't want the government to read his thoughts.
So
he ate the right eye because he was certain they would figure out some way to put it back in.
Yeah.
He had said he had been reading the book of Revelations, which he quit reading.
An eye for an eye leaves everyone blind, Brandy, except for the last person.
He had to quit reading it. He had to quit reading it because, you know, he popped out his eye.
Yeah. Well, they got him the big
book. So he's down to zero eyes.
Have you ever seen a Braille edition of the Bible?
He's down to zero eyes.
Have you ever seen a Braille Bible?
I don't think so.
No, neither does Stevie Wonder.
Nice.
No, I'm serious. The motherfucker. Now, you know North College Hill, right, though?
No.
You don't know North College Hill?
You make a lot of local references that most of our listeners.
In our city, we have Clovenook Home for the Blind. It is the largest publishing place for Braille documents or Braille books.
Hey,
they
wonderful.
Publish Playboy, a Braille version of Playboy magazine there.
If I pop out my eye, can we finish this goddamn podcast?
I'm just saying.
So do they make big breasts with the Braille if there's just the centerfold?
Well, you can feel around on
with
it.
Now that they got the 3D printers, you got.
Remember when they had scratch and sniff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those are the days.
Yeah. But I think they was using fish oil. Anyway.
All right, so poor Andre. Well,
he'd been reading the
Andre's
book of Revelations, and then he felt he became like Keith Richards, and he got sympathy for the devil because it wasn't all Satan's fault, he said.
Okay.
After all, Andre was supposed to have been aborted. 8 days after swallowing his remaining eye, though, Andre reports that he was hearing voices, including that of God.
How do you pass an eye?
You don't. You pass like anything else. Like if you ate a cow
eye or
whatever.
Your eye has lots of fiber in it, so lots of protein.
So yeah. So you just ate it, and then it came out.
The evaluation form accompanying these remarks indicates that he is not presenting delusional or paranoid symptoms, and that his insight and judgment is fair.
I really think that we need to revisit the Texas mental health system.
Do you think his insight and judgment is, would you describe it as
all
fair?
He has, I think all he has is insight. There's no outside.
It's been 9 years since the second eyeball incident, but Andre's prosecutors have not reported back about their record gathering or any subsequent evaluation. Texas continues to forcefully pursue Andre's execution. He's presently awaiting XQ and is housed in just a 4-unit for psychiatric evaluation and treatment. He does not have a scheduled date of execution, but you can almost bet your ass, lawyer, that Texas is going to give him a shot.
He'll never see it coming.
No, you
really Randy, your final they won't have to blindfold him. Your final thoughts, Randy.
I wonder if they'll do that.
Andre, I don't know. This story is pretty sick. Your final thoughts on Andre?
He was failed. He really, really was.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad. I do feel bad for him, but, you know, I mean, he fucked up, but.
I mean, yeah. I feel bad that he
this
killed.
This makes the case for institution. We deinstitutionalize this whole country. Now we got people like him just wandering around. We don't do anything for him, and sooner or later they're going to do some really fucked up things.
Well, what's fucked up is he asked for help. He begged for help, right. And nobody would help him. He comes in with a knife sticking out of him that he put there.
Help me, Vivian.
And you know, but you know, we were talking off air, and although he, you know, obviously he's disconnected from reality, it's almost like if they execute him, it's almost like it's.
You're doing him a favor.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's almost like a mercy killing. I mean, you know what I mean? It's a real sad story. But thank you, Karen Barnes, for that uplifting tale.
Right.
We would like to thank all of those of you who support us on Patreon. It means the world to us. We appreciate it very, very much, your generosity. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or...
Or just a wee little bit to me.
Say it slow, Colonel.
Or just a wee little bit.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
We're getting the female. We get female listeners that tune in for the Colonel's sexy voice.
We could use your money, girl.
It's just like a Ben, and they walk among us. They tune in to listen to Ben. Some of our female listeners tune in to listen to the Colonel. Some of the guys tune in to listen to you.
Yeah.
No, they
don't. But Brandy, I'm sure they do.
No, they don't.
Please, Brandy, tell us, give a shout out to our Patreon supporters.
Got a voice like Marge Simpson's sister.
No, you don't. Your voice is fine.
James Seabright.
Love your hair.
God damn it. Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes.
Who just had a birthday recently. Happy birthday, Tommy.
Terry Stafford.
Hey, Terry.
Shelly Garrett. Bridget Clavey. Brandy McBride. Jennifer Savota. Maggie Glover. Mike Sadler, Jamie Dent, Maja, Tyrone, I got to do a thing, okay. And then I got to do another thing.
Right.
And then
there's two things you're doing.
And then now my things are done.
Okay.
Amber Scoville, Marsha Boris, Stacy Alsop, Jody and Sean Wells, Amber Anderson, They Walk Among Us with Ben and Rosanna, Lorna Violet, Mike
Who
Deo.
Who named a goat after me, by the way?
I got a goat, too.
Cambo died.
And my goat is still alive.
My goat's still alive. My goat's thriving.
Dead. Your goat's dead.
My goat is not dead.
Your goat is
dead.
My goat is not dead.
Yeah, it is.
Cambo's dead.
No.
Yeah.
All right, continue, Brandy.
Whatever, dude. The goat died.
Kick the bucket.
Kelly Charette, Karen Widner, Callie, Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Mike Brown with the Pleasing Terrors podcast.
Hey, Mike.
Sarah Bloom, Amber Krupp.
Sarah is the ambassador of our Facebook page.
She is.
Does a wonderful job.
Joe at the Now American History podcast, who just got married.
Yes, congratulations to Joe and
really?
Sean.
Joe got married?
Joe and Sean, yes.
Joe and Sean?
Yes, congratulations,
Do
Joe.
We know Sean? Have we approved of Sean?
Yeah, Sean is on the Now American History podcast. He's his co-host.
I know that.
All right.
But Joe did not
He didn't run it by us first.
He doesn't have to run it by you.
I just kind of feel like he wanted, he would you're just feeling left out, aren't you? Do the ceremony.
No. Catherine.
You're ordained. You are ordained.
Both of us are ordained. Goddamn right I'm ordained. It's not that big a deal.
All right.
Catherine Cock Garage Richardson.
It's a disgusting nickname, Catherine really is.
She gave it to herself. Love her heart. Fiona Crisp, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Aaron, Kimberly Cameron, Elise, the History Goes Bump podcast with
Diane Stewart. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Annette Petre, Lise, Jahara, Alicia and Chip, Marika Smith, Jeff and John Chestnut, who do Backroads to History and Poems by Jeff.
Yes, and Don just had a birthday, so happy birthday to Don.
Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Lydia Fisher, Phyllis Munson.
And by the way, Shirley's not feeling well. So
she is not feeling
Get feeling better, Shirley. We miss you.
Lydia Fisher, Phyllis Munson, Melissa Montoya, Cindy Lou, Kristen Malachinsky, Heather Poole.
Malachinsky.
Well, that's not what it says on my page. Heather Poole, Adam McWaters, The Vanished Podcast.
Next time I'll do these because I can pronounce things better.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're on
just
it.
Just stumbling through it. Like.
The Vanished Podcast.
Yes, with Marissa Jones. We're going to see her at CrimeCon in Nashville in May.
Canadian True Crime with Christy Lee.
Who is oddly enough, does Canadian True Crime, but she's an Australian.
Yeah, I think there's some false advertising there with Christy.
Yes.
Insight with Charlie and Allie. Joe Clifford, Mistress Vader, Ron Monastrio, I don't know. Ron, hi, Ron.
Mistress Vader is a dominatrix?
I believe she is.
If she's not, she should be.
She really should be.
Tracy Smith, Jess, John V, Nene, Bridget Bernhard, Stacy, Christine Herr. I fuck that up every time. Cheryl Weldon, Nicholas, Ryan, Margaret McDonald, Aaron Turner, Michelle Johns, Clark and Diane Trowbridge.
Yay, Clark.
Beth Wallen, Andrew Scamell.
He was a really nice person, Andrew.
Yes. So nice. Michaela Wallstrom, Aaron Fowler, Leanne Flanagan, and Nicholas and Ryan. And, of course, Lady Beverly, who is having shoulder surgery today.
Yes.
Or knee surgery, sorry. Yes.
Get ready. Knee surgery today. Lady Beverly, I hope to see you in May when I hop over across the pond.
Across the pond.
I didn't know you were pond hopping in May.
Yes, in May. I'm going over and see Ben and Rosanna.
So you're taking lots of trips in May.
Matt Johnson, after CrimeCon. And I'm going to see Lady Beverly.
Amazing. Lady Beverly.
They don't know it, but
well, they
I'm
don't
gonna
know.
Look, I'm going to look in their windows.
They don't know
else.
That you're going to try and crash at their house. You're in couch surf.
Yeah.
Lady Beverly, Miss Dottie,
my mom, who I love.
But you keep trying to kill her.
No.
Yeah.
No,
you
a
do.
Wonderful lady.
And Rudy the Wonder Dog.
I just want to say that we would love if you're listening to the podcast, we would love for you to join our Facebook page because. You will find some of the nicest people in the world on our Facebook page. It's History Dweebs, the podcast. Please join us because, am I right? Is these the nicest people you ever want to meet? Right?
You're right, you're right.
Thank some you. Are more okay.
Yeah. Would you pluck your eyebrows out or your eyes out for any of them?
I'd pluck my eyebrows out for a couple of them.
There's a few of them make me want to pluck my eyes out.
Yeah, but eyebrows. Overall, they're very nice people, and we love them. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.